Hey, we're going to be in the book of Judges. So we've been going through and doing the book of Joshua. And those first like 8 chapters we hit pretty good. And then the latter part of Joshua gets into how the land was going to be divided up amongst the 12 tribes. And so we did a couple messages at the end of Joshua, talking about choices was last week. Maybe some people haven't even in their home, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So we talked about the choice that Joshua gave the people and that he lived by, right? And how it impacted other people, that our choice can impact the destiny of others. So I think there's some powerful stuff there. The thing about Joshua and Caleb is that they served the Lord wholeheartedly, and it did impact the lives of other people. And I think when if you live a lukewarm Christian life, you're not going to impact people like you would like to or maybe should. But when you are on fire, when your life, you're living God for God wholeheartedly, you will make a difference in the lives of others. Whether you say anything to people or not, they're going to watch your life. So today we're going to go into Judges. We're not going to cover all of the book of Judges. And there's even some dark things, I say dark things in the book of Judges, right? So if you read through the book of Judges, you go, really, this is in the Bible? Well, it's recording what history, okay? It's recording the things that happened, and you really see where Israel was in regards to the nations around them and where they were at in their walk with God. Sometimes they were walking in a good place, and other times they were not. And you see in the book of Judges that 6 times the people would disobey God, they rebel against God, and so God would say, okay, fine. And then the enemies would suppress them, subdue them, and so then they would say, okay, this isn't any fun, and so they would cry out to God and say, God, you know, help us. And so God would hear their prayers, and then he would raise up a deliverer, a hero, okay? And we know some of their names, so there is Samson, right? Samson and Deborah, she's the only lady in the group. Gideon was a good one. So we'll look at some of those. I don't know if we're going to hit all of them, but today we're going to hit Othniel. He's the first one mentioned, and that begins in Judges chapter 3. So you got Joshua, and then you go right into Judges. And we're going to look at Othniel. He's actually a relative of Caleb. Scripture says he was a younger brother, but they had different parents, and so they're saying that he probably was a younger cousin of Caleb's, all right? And he actually gets Caleb's daughter. So we see that in Judges 1:13. He is given the daughter of Caleb as his wife as a reward for his bravery and leadership. He captured the city of Kirith Sefer in Canaanite territory. Joshua says, whoever conquers this, I'm going to give them my daughter. And so he went out and did it, and got a wife as a prize. That's pretty cool, huh? All right. But after Joshua dies and the leaders that had witnessed God's mighty miracles and what he had done in the wilderness, the Red Sea, a generation, it only takes a generation, and Israel falls into sin. They're serving other gods, the gods of the Canaanites, Amorites, the Philistines. And so two of the most common gods that you here referred to are the Baal and Asherah, okay? And so right there is a picture of Baal, a depiction. There's all sorts of different images. Baal was more of a masculine god, more of this bull, cattle, okay? And the horns would symbolize power and authority. And, of course, they were fertility gods, okay? And so by fertility, that their crops would be, they would do well, that their livestock, that they would have a lot of offspring, and that even the people would do well, right? That they would have large families. Now, Asherah was more like a totem pole. Often they would take trees and carve them, and it kind of accentuates maybe some of the feminine characteristics of a lady, all right? This is the more conservative one. And you have to be careful when you search her out because you may see something you shouldn't be, all right? I'll just put that there. But they were fertility gods of the nations that Israel would defeat. And ironically, they would pick up their practices and to begin to follow these gods, which displeased God. And God knew that temptation was there. So this is where we're going to pick it up. We're going to pick it up verse 1 of chapter 3. And we're going to look at that. And we're going to look at this freedom. Because, so we just got done with the 4th of July, Independence Day. It is a celebration of our freedom as a nation. And we truly are one of the greater nations in the world, right? And what makes us unique and why people seek us out is because of our freedoms, right? Whether it is to worship God, whether it is to pursue a life and to pursue peace, love, and happiness, right? To pursue the American dream, we call it, right? There's those freedoms in place, right? But freedom is kind of an interesting thing because our freedoms can actually enslave us and lead us into bondage again, as we'll see in the book of Judges, and even in our own personal lives. We're going to look at that. Just because you have freedom, you have to steward that freedom, because everything that you can do, you probably shouldn't do, right? And so we're going to look at that. So let's pray, dive in together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the living word of God that is able to guide and direct us. And so, Lord God, in these moments we have, speak to us by your word. We ask it in your name. Amen. Verse 1, chapter 3, Judges. These are the nations that the Lord left to test all those Israelites who did not experience any of the wars in Canaan. And then in brackets, he says, he did this only to teach the war, to teach warfare to the descendants of Israel who had not experienced previous battles. So in other words, he wanted to make sure that they still know how to fight. Verse 3, the five rulers of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, Hivites, Lebanon Mountains, Mount Baal, Hermon to Lebo, Hamath. They were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given the ancestors through Moses. The Israelites lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. We talked about that in one of the previous messages. Some of those they weren't able to drive out. Verse 6, they took their daughters in marriage and gave their daughters to their sons and served their gods. And I think that is where the weakness was, as they began to intermarry with these heathen nations around them that did not worship God. In fact, braced Baal and Asherah. They then began to adopt their practices. Okay? Happens very easily. Verse 7, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. Verse 8, the anger of the Lord burned against Israel so that he sold them into the hands of Cushan, Rizma, Shion, Hathasiam, king of Aram, Amorathiam, to whom the Israelites were subject for 8 years. So for 8 years, they come under submission to these Amorites, the king of Aram, and were subject to them. People that they had defeated. Now God allows them to rise up to bring judgment on the Israelites. Why? Because of Israel's disobedience. They knew they weren't supposed to worship other gods, and yet they still did it. And so God says, I'm going to allow your enemies to rise up and to inflict punishment upon you. The first principle we see there is that disobedience opens the door to bondage in our life. Disobedience. And sometimes we look at the things in God's words and we say, God, we maybe even call them rules. And I don't like to call them rules. But even within our country, do we not? We have things that we can do and we can't do. Some things are lawful, some things are unlawful. Why do we have unlawful things? Why do we have rules out there and principles out there? Why? To steal people's fun? No, to protect people, right? Whether it's a speed limit or things that you can't go out there and kill people, right? We have laws and rules to guard our freedom, to steward our freedom, but also to protect the lives of others, because our freedom can go too far and we have to respect the freedom of others, right? And so God's guidelines aren't there to steal our fun. In fact, it's to help us steward our freedom in our lives and to enjoy God's freedom and his blessing. And so as they embraced other gods, Yahweh, the Lord, removed his blessing from Israel, allowed their enemies to triumph over them. And now they found themselves living in bondage to their enemies. And so they did this, oh God, help us. You know, how did we get here? How come you're not showing your blessing, right? Joshua warned them. He says, you're making this commitment, this choice to serve me. We're putting this big rock up here as a memorial, as a reminder of the choice you're making. If you choose not to disobey him, he is going to bring judgment upon you. And God kept his word, right? True freedom means that we have a choice and we also have the power to do what we want, to obey God or disobey God. And we read that God was testing them. Will they follow the practices of the nations around them or will they serve him? When we confess our sins to God, he forgives us of our sins. But some of the things that enslave us and he has set us free, we're set free from immediately, right? So maybe think back to when you were saved. Now, I didn't have a bunch of things that I had to get rid of. I was five, okay? And I was raised in a good home. That doesn't mean that I was perfect or anything like that. But for some people, there's a lot of things that were there that were part of this, part of their past. And some of those things fall off immediately, and other things take years, months, days for God to work out freedom in your life. Sin and addictions are a vicious cycle, right? Right? You engage in that habit or that sin and there's the high, right? The endorphins are released. It makes you feel good for a moment and then that moment leaves pretty quickly and then all of a sudden you feel the regret and say, man, I went and did what I wasn't supposed to do all over again. And so we go from a high to a low and then we feel embarrassed and ashamed and then that cycle can repeat it. We get into pain again and so then we go back to the habit to get relief. And it's a cycle to break out of. That is why some habits are so hard to break because there's that reward there. And so then we go to the reward, but then we feel bad for doing it, and it harms us. Some things are sinful. Some things are just bad habits, and they cause us, they're not good for our body and our temple, right? So it can be in bondage to cuss words. Some people, man, that's what they've known growing up, workplace. And so then when they get saved and they realize, oh, you know, I shouldn't be dropping F-bombs all over the place and doing all that, it takes a while, right? There was one guy, he got saved in jail and he became a great pastor and evangelist. And but the cussing thing was just so hard for him to break. He was serving God, but he was just, you know, cussing left and right. And he finally says, you know what? I have to stop this. And so he told somebody else that was in the prison, that he says, if you ever hear me cussing, you know, I just want you to, and it helped, right? It helped. And finally he was able to break it. It's kind of like, oh, that hurts. It can be unholy thoughts. It can be pornography. Pornography is rampant in our culture right now, not just with men, it is with women as well. The studies are showing. And it's so easy to access. You don't have to go to the local drugstore anymore. When I was growing up, it's right here, right? Drugs, whether they're legal or illegal, we can be enslaved into them. Substances such as tobacco and alcohol, right? And even food. You know, we can be addicted to food, right? Man, we get depressed and discouraged. And so food, oh man, we eat food and it feels good, right? And then we feel bad about it, and then we look at ourselves in the mirror and we feel even worse, right? And then the cycle goes around and around, right? Yeah. And when God sets us free from these things, we must never look back, right? God had set Israel free from their Egypt and the things of the past. They enter into this new land, their freedom. God destroyed all their enemies. He laid it out before them. They were walking in freedom, but they enslaved themselves all over again as they embraced the habits of the people around them. And those things began to control them. We've all seen people lose weight for a time and a period, but it's like, what, how many people gain it back in 2 to 3 years? Like 80%. Pretty, there again, pretty discouraging. We revert back to old habits because we didn't replace the old habits with some new habits and make that a new habit in our life. So to steward the freedom in our lives means obeying God by implementing disciplines or practices in our life. When we disobey God by not worshiping with other believers, by not spending time in his word, by not obeying it, we open the door for sin and are enslaved all over again. So if God has set you free from something, or maybe you've never been enslaved by something, don't open up the door, because the minute you engage and disobey God, you open up the door for sin in your life and you give it a foothold, right? And it begins a process that God needs to set you free from. This is what Paul says to the Galatians. So in the New Testament, Galatians 4, 8 through 9, and Galatians and Romans really are very closely tied together. But it says, formerly you did not know God. So these people in an area, region of Galatia, you were slaved to those by whom by nature were not gods. So they worshiped other things. Verse 9, but now you know God, and rather are known by God. How is it that you're turning your back to those weak and miserable forces? So in other words, they were turning back to the things that God had set them free from. Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? So God sets us free, and he gives us his grace, but his grace isn't there to be abused, right? I can keep on sinning and sinning because I can go to God and confess. No, because anytime you engage in sin, you enslave yourself all over again. The goal should be, hey, God, set me free, and live in that freedom. Amen? Because if you do not have control over what you want to do, and you engage in sin, even though you know it's against God's word, but it's kind of like, I've had people, one lady, this is way back early in the ministry, husband and wife, they came on Easter Sunday. She had come earlier. She'd come a couple months earlier, committed her life to Christ. Easter Sunday, her husband shows up, gets saved. But you know what happened from when she committed her life to Christ when he came on Easter? She had got online with a guy that lived in Colorado or someplace. This is when we were in North Dakota. And she built an online relationship with him. And it was so strong. Now her husband, who she had prayed to come to know Christ, had made the decision to Christ. I mean, he was radically changed. He threw all the stuff away with the past. And now he wanted to work on the marriage and everything. And she goes, my heart's out there. I said, you're going against God's word. She goes, I know, but I have to go out there. And so she left her husband. She left her kids. She was gone. She knew what was right, but the pull within her was so strong, she was in bondage to it, and she had to follow her heart instead of follow God. Now, the only good thing about that is she got out there and realized that the sin wasn't any good. And fortunately, her husband says, I'll take you back. And they're reconciled, and they moved to a new community because they just needed a fresh start. But the pull within our lives sometimes is unreal. And so why would we want to enslave ourselves anymore? If God has set you free, or if you've never experienced a sin, and don't do it. Don't open up that door, because you're going to give sin a foothold in your life. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, you are called to be free. Do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. So God's given us freedom to make those choices, but we have to be good stewards of it, because we have the choice to obey God or disobey God. Steward those choices and do it well. To disobey God removes God's grace and enslaves ourselves all over it again. So what if you mess up? You're done. That's it. You're done. Sorry. You're done. Should I leave there? Should we close the service? If you disobey a God, like the Israelites, you cry out to God, right? And guess what? Even though we've disobeyed God, God does forgive us of our sins. There is a way back. There is a way back. So let's look at that. Verse 9. It says, but when they cried out to the Lord, do a cry, do your best cry. Oh, that's not good. All right, 1, 2, 3. All right. They cried out to God, and he raised up for them a deliverer, a hero, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. You know, Caleb just had good DNA in him. And so some of that must have carried off into his descendants who saved them. We don't get all the details about it. We're going to see a little bit more. But God placed his spirit on him, and he is a deliverer. But it became, as they cried out to God, we call that repentance. So that's point two. Repentance sets the stage for deliverance. Repentance sets the stage for deliverance. Repentance means doing a 180. Now, some of you did a 180 in your parents' car, right? And they thought they maybe didn't know it. I bet they did. All right? But it means that we're going in one direction and we cry out to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins. So it's more than asking forgiveness. It's actually turning the car around and saying, now I'm going to go towards God. Okay? So it's more than the confession part. It is change of direction. It is seeking God out. And God heard their cry, and he raised up a deliverer. God responds to repentance. Even the city of Nineveh, when Jonah went there and preached, they were a sinful city. We don't know all the sins, but they were a sinful city. But even there, Jonah preaches, and he doesn't do a very good job preaching because he doesn't want them to be spared. He wants them to be destroyed, but he follows God. So I don't know what his preaching was like, but I don't think it was good. But guess what? They respond. And they repent, and God spares the city of Nineveh, much to Jonah's regret. It's one of the great missionary stories. This is what we see in Isaiah chapter 1, 18 through 20. And so it's legal terms, okay? This chapter 1 of Isaiah, it's legal terms. So you're going to fast forward. Isaiah, you're fast forwarding through some kings. They had judges, and then they would have kings. And finally, God has had enough. He's going to bring in Assyria in 722 BC. In 586, he brings in Nebuchadnezzar from Babylon. And so it is leading up to this, the book of Isaiah. Isaiah talks about going into captivity and then after. So 40 through on is after. 1 through 39 is before. But Isaiah is saying, God speaking through Isaiah, and he says, come now, let us settle the matter. Okay, you're in the court of law, okay? And you're before the judge, and says, let us settle the matter, says the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, okay? You're stained with sin. They shall be as white as snow. Though they are as red as crimson, they shall be white as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land, but if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so God is saying through Isaiah, hey, you've sinned, you've messed up, but if you come to God, you can be white as snow. Amen? David said, Psalms 139, 23 through 24, this is a good psalm. Here we go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's an offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And I think this is a good thing to be praying every day that God, we say, God, examine my heart. Search my heart every day and know my thoughts, my heart, so that I can walk in your ways. We don't want to get too far down the path before God. If God corrects things early on, we're much better off than if we get way down the road and we have to be brought back. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. To steward the freedom that God has given us, we must daily allow God to examine our hearts and confess our sins that he reveals. This allows us to live under God's grace, blessing, and favor. Let's look at the last two verses, 10 and 11. Let's bring this home. It says, the Spirit of the Lord then comes upon Othniel. So we see those same words used in Acts, okay? Where the Spirit of the Lord came upon the apostles, the disciples, and those early believers, and still for us today. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel. And so that he became Israel's judge, and he went to war. So it helped him to be a leader. It gave him boldness, confidence, and courage. He takes on this king of Aram who overpowered him. And so the land was at peace for 40 years until Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. For 40 years they've had peace because the Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel and brought deliverance. The third point is that the power of the Spirit sets us free. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Othniel and empowered him to bring deliverance for the people. And that same Spirit that came upon Othniel, guess what? Still comes upon God's people today. Amen? Right? It helps us to live a daily walk with God, to live in victory. You cannot do it on your own. I know some of you are just like very disciplined and very good, and some of you are not. Okay? Let's be honest. All right? Okay? All right? We need God's Holy Spirit to walk in victory. We need his Spirit so that we can do ministry for him. It is not through our own power. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul was a very religious man. He is very disciplined. We know that. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. But even in Romans 7, he acknowledges that there's a battle that happens and goes on in each person. What we want to do, we don't do. And what we shouldn't be doing, we do. Right? Paul says, who's going to save us from this wretched situation? He goes, thanks be to Jesus, right? Therefore, there's no condemnation. That's the way Romans 8 begins, for those that are in Christ Jesus. And he talks about walking in the Spirit. And so I want us to read that. I'm going to turn in my Bible there to Romans 8, 1 through 17. As long as the kids hang in there with me, we'll see how much we read here. It says, therefore, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, the law of Spirit, who gives us life, has set you free from the law of sin and death, from legalism, right? And for what the law was powerless to do, it was telling the people what to do, right and wrong, but it didn't give them the ability to fulfill it. It was powerless to do that because it was weakened by the flesh. And sometimes when you are told not to do something, it is then that you, what? You want to do it, right? It's kind of like, I wasn't even a temptation before. Now I can't do it. Now it's kind of like, now I want to do it, right? That's the sinful nature, what we call sinful nature. God did by sending his son in likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. We live according to the flesh, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I'm going to jump ahead, Craig. Verse 12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we do not have an obligation. We do have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will not die. But if by the Holy Spirit, you will put to death the misdeeds of the body, and you will live. Verse 14. For those who live by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, lead you into bondage, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship and daughtership, right? By him we cry, Father, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. We are therefore children. Then we are heirs, heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ. Indeed, we share in the sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. As we stay in step with the Spirit and walk with the Spirit, he gives us the power, the guidance to live for him. Just as God empowered Othniel to be a deliverer for the people of Israel, God can empower his people still today to live a victorious Christian life. Maybe there's some Othniels or Othniel-ets in the congregation that God places his Spirit upon. Galatians 5, 16, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit contrary to the flesh. They're in conflict with one another so that you do not do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And then he says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Spirit, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Freedom. I have the musicians come. You know, I think God has provided freedom to all believers. I just wonder sometimes how much freedom we actually experience in our lives. Sometimes the sinful nature, still our desires within that we don't tell anybody, pull on our heart pretty strong. Stronger than we would like it to be. And we find ourselves enslaved and in bondage to things that God wants to set us free from. Sometimes we didn't know any better, right? Like the Galatians, you didn't know any better. You were living the way you knew how to live, and then Christ came into your life, saved you. And some of those things fall off right away, immediately. But I've learned that sometimes some things take counseling, because some things are rooted back in our childhood. We've learned things. Some of those sins change the way we think, the way we behave. Some things God just miraculously touches and heals. Sometimes God uses godly counselors. Sometimes it's just being with other godly people in small groups and having those accountability partners that can pray with us and that we can be real with. We need those. When we obey God, we live under His blessing. We live in that sweet spot of God's freedom, His grace, His mercy, His favor. We grow closer to Him. We hear His voice. But often it means that we're in God's Word. We're taking time to pray on a daily basis. We're coming together as the body of Christ to worship. We're sharing our faith. We're doing acts of service in our community. When we sin, we confess our sin. We keep a clean heart before God. Freedom is a hard thing to steward. God wants us to live in freedom, but we also have to make good choices. And God tries to give us a roadmap of how to do that, right? And we learn from Israel. We learn from their mistakes, their experiences. God doesn't want us to go through those same things, right? Follow me? Amen. Praise God. Would you stand this morning? In our country, we have a lot of freedoms. But the freedoms that we enjoy often come at a cost, do they not? There's times we have to defend that freedom against enemies on the outside. Even in the past month here, we've had activity that has taken place, right? It means that in our Congress, legislator, whether it's on the national level or state level, there's things that are worked through, right? We have a legal system. And that sometimes is messy, right? But those things are in there. There's checks and balances to protect the freedoms that we have. And it's much the same within our own lives. God has given us freedom. He wants to provide us freedom. But the word I'm choosing is steward, because it means that God has given me a lot of freedom and a lot of grace, and I have to be a good steward of it. I have to make good decisions and choices to guard that freedom and to protect it. Am I making sense? Amen. Father, this morning, I thank you for the gift of salvation. In fact, if anybody's listening or here today, you said that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, we will be saved. So if we make that our prayer today, you will come in. You'll forgive us of our sins. You'll extend your grace and your mercy. The condemnation will leave, Lord God. And then we begin the journey to walk with you. We have to make you the Lord of our life. follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, I thank you for your word. There's so much in your word that tells us what is holy and what is not holy, what we should do and should not do. But Lord God, we need the help of your Holy Spirit to help us in those gray areas. We need the help of your Holy Spirit when the flesh is weak. We need the power of your Holy Spirit to come alive in our life. And so, Lord God, help us to glorify you and to live in the freedom that you desire that we have, to experience life and to have it more abundantly. Lord God, that is your desire for us. You want us to live in your blessing, your favor, and the power of your Spirit. So, Lord God, hear our prayer today. In your name we ask, amen. Let's sing this chorus together today.
Be forever mine.
prayer. Gary will be here. Maybe there's just a, we call it a besetting sin, or just a sin that's kind of on me. You've sought God many times for forgiveness and just been stubborn. And or maybe it's just even a habit that you want to break free from. And so I'll stay up here as well and just pray with you. Lord God, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you that we can come to you and that you respond to us. Your covenant love for us is so powerful and strong. Even when Israel forsook you, they knew they were doing wrong and they'd been warned over and over again, and yet they still went back to old ways and even some new ways that were displeasing to you. And yet God, in your mercy and your grace, you forgave them. And you raised up a deliverer. And Lord God, maybe that speaks to someone here today, God, that you, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of your grace. That's not the issue. But some of us are living in condemnation and regret. And God, I pray that the words of Isaiah, that you can wash us clean and pure and holy, to remove the stains of the past, to know your freedom, and to walk in that freedom. And God, give us the wisdom, give us your Holy Spirit, that we can steward that gift that you've given us in our lives, to walk in freedom in your blessing and your grace. That is your plan. That is your desire for us. And so, Lord God, help us to walk in that. We give you the thanks this day. We ask it in the precious and the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody said a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you this morning.